You're listening to City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitz. It's so good to be with you. As one half of the Grammy Award-winning folk rock duo, the Indigo Girls, Amy Ray has sold millions of albums and toured the world. She also has a prolific solo career, and in 2014, Amy released Good Night Tender, her first full-blown country album. It was well-received by critics and fans alike. I spoke with Amy Ray ahead of her show tonight at the Variety Playhouse. First, let's listen to a bit of the title track from Good Night Tender.
Sweet tender, the veil is on the loom. Coyotes sleep, they sing a lonesome tune. All my life I'm rambling, and so you're in my stead. I lie awake and wonder at every bedtime tale. So keep those coals glowing, and keep my true love dreaming. Good night.
What a delight to talk with Amy Ray.
It's nice to talk to you. I'm so used to listening to you. It's almost intimidating.
Oh my goodness, Amy, think about what you're saying. But thank you.
You're awesome.
The whole country style just fits. It fits your voice and timbre especially. Did writing a country album feel inevitable to you?
It did at some point. I think there was a point, I mean, this record has been out for a few years and I'm already working on another one. And I think there was a point when I was making punk and rock records where I started writing songs that were kind of mountain music, kind of gospel, that were really fast and sort of punkabilly in a way. And I was like, you know, if I could get my guts up to do this, I would love to do a traditional country record because I have so much respect. So it felt inevitable that I would be writing that way, but it didn't feel inevitable that I would actually have enough songs. And so I think it really took me quite a long time to get up to speed. But once I had it and I had the players that I love to collaborate with, now it comes more quickly, and I love it so much, and I love my band so much that I have this collaboration and inspiration all the time with these guys that I play with. So, but you know, I moved up to North Georgia about 23 years ago, now 25 years ago, and it really changed me to, I always was kind of a country girl, but to be in the midst of that all the time and to be in the woods and to be around bluegrass and the players that just play out on the square in Dahlonega, you know, on the weekends, it leaked in and it reminded me of the things I was listening to as I was growing up. And as a songwriter, I just had this massive respect for, you know, Hank Williams and Dolly Parton and people that can just turn a phrase. And country writing is really, I mean, it's really hard, you know, it's an art and I don't have it yet, but I aspire to. There's a lot of great songwriters in Nashville right now coming up with some amazing tunes. So,
is it the storytelling that appeals to you about country? What exactly was your attraction?
It's the populism of it and the storytelling. And I think, populism in the best sense of the word.
Yeah, when did that become pejorative?
I don't know.
I don't like that either. Think about Hubert Humphrey and this great Democratic tradition, but you mean it in the
The Waltons, you know, and hard work and loving your neighbor and having a community. And I mean it in the spirit of punk rock too. It's like, and the idea that you have a simple song, everybody can pick up a guitar and play, and it's music is for the people. Oh. That's how I mean it.
Okay, that does not seem as obvious to some folks. How would you describe the relationship between punk and country?
I'd probably look at the lyrics, you know, and punk was of a community, and it was about the common person, the common human, and hard work, and, you know, questioning authority, and in the sense of, like, Johnny Cash was the same thing as The Clash. You know, I always think of, like, Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, and I think of The Clash, and I think of Loretta Lynn, you know, people that were going against the grain and talking about how important simplicity was, and the working person, and, you know, just pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps, and just sort of not to disparage, you know, money, but it was the opposite of elitism. And I think that's what I see, the relationship between those two. And also, the chord structures are similar as well, you know, musically, on the great, great country songs and the great songs by The Clash. You know, the chord structures are similar. So, I mean, I also discovered that through my punk rock friends who were getting older, and they were starting to play country as they got older. I was thinking about a scene in, like, in Chicago, you know, where all the punk people were playing, and then all of a sudden it was like they had country bands. And I think that's kind of what drew me into knowing, you know, it's okay to go down this road, even if it scares you, you know, because you have so much reverence for it.
What is it about country that scared you?
You know, it's scary just because I have this, like, reverence for it. And I think, like, to me it felt like that kind of songwriting, it wasn't a mystery to me. It was just, it felt so unattainable. And I never wanted to do it, like, in a slack way. I wanted to really, really believe that I had gotten that thing right, you know. And I don't know if I have yet, but I felt like at one point I was just like, well, I mean, I really love it, so I got to do it, you know. But for a long time, I hesitated. And I think also because, you know, there was a time when Emily and I were coming up where, you know, and from time to time, we do have songs, and she's written a lot of them, that could cross over into that category. But because of being gay and so, like, outwardly left-wing politically, it's like you were prevented from being in that world in some way, you know, because it had a demographic definition that I think does not serve it well, because I believe that when you really look at people, there's a lot of different kinds of people that listen to country music, and there's a lot of different kinds of people that play country music, and there always has been. But we get distilled down to these groups of people, and it doesn't serve us.
I could see where you would think that, especially if the first thing that comes to mind is Grand Ole Opry, you know, the old Nashville.
Which was an amazing thing. It's like saying, to me, it's like someone saying, you can't go to this church because you're gay. I don't want something to be owned by moral judgments, you know, and country music shouldn't be either. And it's so important to me that if I was going to write songs in that vein, I wanted them to be good enough for me to I wanted to prove myself. And that's what I'm working on, because I want to transcend the first thing you think about me is, oh, she's a dyke. Do you know what I mean? Not because I'm not proud of being queer, but because the trick of good writing is for anyone to sit in that song and relate to it. And good country writing does that too.
I'm just a southern god, no spot left to be had. Drifting on the current and the rain and the river bed. Yeah, I've been so long in this world. A godly is all I need now. Now they feel you in the till and tell.
You have a new record coming out in the winter, another country album with the Amy Band.
I'm recording it in the winter. It probably won't be out till the spring, but we are going to be recording in January, February, and we've got about half of it written, or I do, and we have a show at the Variety Playhouse Friday, and we're going to play a lot of new songs, so we got to try them out in front of people before we know what works.
Is that how you like to audition material, you know, do it live and see how the crowd responds?
It's not about what the response is, but there's something about playing a new song in front of people that makes you understand the problems with it better. It's like when you read, it's like if you've written something and you read it out loud to someone. All of a sudden, the grammatical errors or the things that make you stumble when you read, you're like, oh, I need to work on this. But when you read it to yourself or when you play a song to yourself, you think it's fine. But when you play it in front of somebody, you see the things that need to be, you know, polished up a little bit or changed. And so that's what the process is for me.
Do you think the audience who gathers at your concerts when you're trying out some of your new songs is capable? Are those people capable of giving you an unbiased response to you? I mean, they're there because they love you to begin with.
Okay, well, there's two things. It's like, one thing is that, like, our audience is actually very discerning, and they're willing to give us constructive criticism. And they do. Yeah, I think they are capable. I think one of the reasons why we love our audience so much and why they've been with us for so long is that we do have this dialogue that's like, we're going to work really hard and we're going to try to evolve and we're going to try to be good entertainers and we're not just going to, you know, we're not just going to like rest on the laurels of like Closer to Fine. We're going to keep trying. And that's kind of our agreement, you know. And so their agreement is we want to hear new stuff, and we don't, you know, we won't just make you play the old hits, and we'll also give you honest feedback, you know. And then when I really believe I've worked out the kinks, I might listen to the response then and sort of be like bummed if it doesn't go over well. I guess to be honest.
Now, you've made 5 solo albums now, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And your fellow Indigo girl, singer-songwriter, lifetime friend Emily Saliers just recorded her first.
Yeah, it's a great record.
What was it like for you knowing that she was going through that process?
Amazing, because I feel like I've been like bugging her about it for 10 years and saying like, you really need to make a solo record. I think you could just do all this stuff that, like, you can't do with us. I mean, I have to say, like, she's so complimentary about me, but I have a lot of limitations, and I've wanted her to do a record because then she can be really free to work with people that have not as many limitations as I do musically. And I'm not saying we don't have, like, we have a magic together that is incredible. But, like, I wanted her to do something that was, you know, had nothing holding it back, and that's what she's done. And it's so for me, watching that process was, well, I learned a lot from it. I learned a lot from her method and kind of the way she was doing it. And when I listened to the record, it is, well, first of all, it's totally ambitious. It's not just like, yeah, I made a solo record, had some people come play some songs with me. It is like a work of art that is precise and produced, and every note matters, and there's a lot going on, and it has layers and layers, and you have to study it, and it's great songwriting. So for me, when I first heard it, I was just like, that is an accomplishment. Like, that's like a real accomplishment.
That's so generous. You know, generosity just characterizes both of you. I wondered if maybe there was something you heard on Emily's solo that you wished she'd saved for the two
always,
of you.
Always. We do that to each other. We're always like, why didn't you let us do that? Yeah, there's a song that I always wanted to cover that I'd heard her and Kristen Hall wrote it. The Kristen Hall who wrote a lot of songs for Sugarland. And it's called Match. And it's just this incredible pop song. And I've always loved it, and I've always said, can we do that song? She was like, I'm saving it, and I'm saving it. So that is, there are a few songs like that where she'll play a little bit, and I'll be like, we should do that. And she's like, no, it's for the solo record. And I'm like, ah. And the same thing for us, but it's okay. You know, like, that I love, because I love that she would like something so much that I wrote, or I would like something she wrote, because that's what's kept us going for, like 35 years or whatever it's been that we've played together.
It's extraordinary. Amy Ray, you have so much purpose and grace in all you do. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks.